turning there. We let them dismiss, but I want to say it is always a great honor to come and worship the Lord together and to praise His beautiful name and to let God have His will in our lives and our souls. We want God to minister to us today in His way. Amen. Only God could do that. And want the blessings of the Lord. It's good to feel the Lord's touch early today and all through prayer time before service. Felt the goodness of the Lord. Luke 19 verse 10 is where I want you to focus on. And then we're going to pray. You could be seated. And if you keep your Bible open after that, I want to go back to the beginning of chapter 19. But Luke chapter 19 verse 10. The word of the Lord says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, open my heart, my eyes, my ears, God, my being. Lord, let me have reception today to what you want to speak to me. We thank you for the power of your glory and the power of your great touch and this great salvation that you've given us today. We're thankful for and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. And you may be seated today. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 1, I'm going to read this all the way back down to verse 10. But Jesus enters, verse 1, and passed through Jericho. Verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. See, his riches and his position is amongst the publicans, which were a very political group in the days of Jesus. All his riches and his position could not help him. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press or the crowd around Jesus because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus was a smaller man and he could not see because of the crowd. He could not tiptoe high enough. He could not look over the shoulder. He could not look around because of the crowd. Look what happened. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. Jesus was going to walk that way. And he already with great intention said, I want to see this Jesus. And he climbs up the tree and he's waiting and anticipating Jesus is supposed to come that pathway. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. That means hurry up and come down. For today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him, how? Joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, speaking of Jesus, that he was going to be with guests with a man that was a sinner. Wow. I can't believe the Master Jesus Christ is going to a sinner's house. You know Zacchaeus the publican? Zacchaeus the rich man. But Zacchaeus obviously was a sinner. And they were disturbed that Jesus would go to the house of a sinner. Let's read on a little bit more. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then our text, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you thankful that Jesus has come for those that are broken and those that are lost and those that are hopeless? Amen. Jesus came and he disturbed everybody else's philosophy and theology, but he came to help those that needed help. I'm glad that Jesus came my way one day. How about you? I'm glad that Jesus looked ahead and said, I am going amen, to die on a cross to help people's soul. And that day that he touched my life and he found me, I was lost and I was undone. Let me just talk to you today. Amen. Have you ever been lost before? I've been lost in the woods 3 times in my life. 3 times. Lost and turned around in the woods. I was just a young man in South Louisiana hunting off the Mississippi River. And my dad had a Ford Bronco. And we parked it and he said, okay. He said, you go this way on this side of the road and I go on this side of the road. And we were squirrel hunting. And as I walked through that set of woods, it was evening time. I can remember getting turned around and thinking that vehicle's over here. And I started walking. The more I walked, all of a sudden I realized I was walking in circles. And I was confused. I didn't know which way to go. And about that time, in my despair and my panic, as a 12-year-old boy, my dad had on that old Bronco a Ooga horn. I mean, you ever heard of Ooga horn before? He hit that Ooga horn. Ooga, Ooga. And, oh, friend, I heard it this way, but I said, it can't be this way. And I began to doubt. I began to reason within myself. Well, it's surely the Bronco's this way. And just a little bit later, I heard my dad start it up, and I heard Ooga. And I could faintly see some headlights. And I started walking towards, and I went through briars, I went through palmettos, I went through vines. It didn't matter. I had to get even to where I needed to be. Amen. When I got there, I'm telling you, I could not get in that vehicle fast enough. Have you ever been lost, and have you ever been found? I've been there. Amen. I've been there before. And I can remember as a boy one time, we went to a place called TGNY. Back in the years, back when I was a kid, that was a big store, TGNY. It was kind of like a dollar store, magnified. And while we were there, somehow or another, normally mom and her flock, we always stayed together, but something happened that day, and I got displaced from my mama. And I can remember looking around, and all of a sudden, mama wasn't there. I was just a toddler of a boy, and I panicked and I began to run and began to look. And the more I looked around, I couldn't see mama. Surely she didn't leave me. And pretty soon I began to cry. And I couldn't even scream out with peril and fright. And I'm looking around and I go to run this way. And I turn around and run that way. I couldn't go anywhere. I mean, has ever been there before? Where you were so much in despair, you didn't know what to do. And I can remember all of a sudden I heard my name, Brent. And I turned and there was my mom at the end of the aisle. I'm going to tell you, tears was rolling down my face, but a greater joy came because my mom was there for me. I remember running to my mom and getting a hold of her and holding on to her. And she said, what happened? I said, I couldn't find you. But I'm glad that mama came and called my name that day. It's the same joy that I have, but in a greater way. When the Lord God Almighty found me in my despair. You see, the exuberant worship that we have, it's not just us to get here and throw a show and begin to perform. Amen. Because we remember the Lord finding us. Are you thankful that God still seeks us and he reaches to us and he makes a difference in our life? Today, I'm thankful for the grace of God. The Bible talks about in even the book of Hebrews that this great deal that God did for us called salvation, it's not just where God just snatched us up and said, okay, I pulled you out, I rescued you, now you're on your own. But I'm glad that when my God reached down, even my God put me in his arms and brought me to his fold, even though the Lord is still Lord in my life today. Amen. God didn't abandon me. God just didn't rescue me and said, okay, learn better the next time. No, but he has been a friend to me. He has been a guide to me. And he's been a savior. But he's been Lord of my life, a blesser of my soul. So today, in looking at the word of the Lord, how beautiful it is to see the things of God. There's some consequences I want to talk about the consequences of God's great grace, the consequences of God reaching down. Normally, when we talk about consequences, we think about bad consequences. We think about things that happen that are, you know, the results of bad decisions, foolish decisions. But I'm glad for the consequences of God's grace. The grace of God is something I don't deserve. You don't deserve. It's that unmerited favor, that blessing that God gives. We don't deserve it, but I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful and I rejoice today for God reaching down in my lost state, my despair. Amen. David said, in my despair, I cried to the Lord and he heard my voice. Amen. And reached down and delivered me out of a horrible pit. He's been my way maker. He's been my peacemaker. He's been the joy giver of my life. I can rejoice today because the goodness of God is at work in my life. Amen. And many people don't ever see this. They see God. It's just in the matter of saving their soul. And that's about it. God reaching down, but even there's a joy that you could have, some good consequences that you could know. I want you to think about the ultimate mission of God. The whole purpose of Christ was to seek and to save that which is lost. He came, he was born, and he died, and he rose again that you and I could be saved. Amen. And oh, friend, though we were dead, the Bible says, literally dead in trespasses and in sins, the mercy and the goodness of God came where we were guilty in our sin. There's a song that I love to hear, and it said, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. The judge said, I'm guilty, but mercy came in and said, hold it. And mercy changed the whole scenario because I have a great God who's not just a strong arm, who's not just one that is just fierce in wrath. He can, but he's a God of goodness and a God of mercy. Amen. And it had not been for the goodness of the Lord, where would you be? We give God praise, much praise, because of what he's done for us. It's always a joy to see these things. And the ultimate mission is when God, the scales were tipped against him, but the goodness of God has tipped the scales for us. The scripture says, if God be for you, who can be against you? I don't care how bad your past is, and your past could be against you to where you think, man, I made some bad choices. I've got some scars in my life. I have some foolish things in my life. But friend, if God be for you, I don't care how bad your past is. If God be for you, who can be against you? What can it be against you? Even, oh, friend, I'm thankful for the goodness and the power of the Almighty God. Jesus said, I'm a light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Thankful for the light in the midst of darkness. I remember several years ago, I know I'm talking about hunting, it's hunting season, but I had went to West Texas and I was weary. My mind was weary, my body was weary. And about 1 o'clock, I told my wife and my children, I said, I'll be back after dark. I am just go sit out there. I need it just to get away. I needed to ease my mind. And I was frazzled, so to speak, in my heart. And I began to walk and I leaned my gun up against a tree. And I got a little bit away from that and just kept walking. And I had some grass in the woods. And I just sat next to a tree and I started relaxing. The next thing I knew it, I was laid on the grass and it felt so good. And pretty soon I conked out. And obviously I went into what they call rapid eye movement sleep, REM sleep, the deepest sleep you could go. And I began to rest. And sometime, and this is about 1 o'clock, sometimes later, maybe about 5:30, 6 o'clock when it gets dark out there, it is dark. I mean, so dark I could not see my hand. I didn't have a flashlight. I didn't have a cell phone. I was just out there. And when I woke up, I didn't know where I was at. You ever done that before? In such a deep, peaceful sleep, I was confused. I'm not in my bed. And I began to feel around. There's grass all over me. And I got to thinking, did somebody knock me out or did I? What happened? Where am I at? I was quite confused and I began to feel around. And I felt a tree. I got to thinking, hold it. This was like a mesquite tree. Then it began to click. Oh, I'm here in Caddo, Texas. Way out in West Texas between Palo Pinto and Breckenridge and Graham, Texas. And I began to now where am I at now? Where am I at on this place? And I began to think, oh, yes, I came here. I put my gun against a tree, and I mean it's dark. It is dark, and I began to feel around. And I can remember saying, oh, I think I came this way. And I began to tiptoe my way. There's cactus everywhere. I tiptoed my way, and I finally found my old gun, and I got it. And I knew the road was just ahead, and I'm trying to find the road. Way across this old home place, this old ranch, I hear my diesel pickup start up. And pretty soon, I hear it coming down the road. My son Joel, my wife and them, they got a little worried about me. They came looking for me. But I want to tell you, God is a light in the world of darkness. Amen. There's something about the joy of walking in that light when you've been in a dark place. You didn't know what was going on. You've been in consequences and circumstances of life that has got you at a place. You didn't know what to do, how to do it, where to go, where to run to. But all of a sudden, the mercy of God, out of nowhere, the goodness of God came. I'm thankful I can rejoice today in the goodness and the joy of God. What you got in God is more than just something I have to do. I do not have to live for God. I get to live for God. Amen. I get to live for God. It's a so great salvation that I enjoy every moment. Even when I come to the house of God, there's some people, when they come to church, it's almost a have to. Come on, kids, we got to get ready. We got to be at, you know, we ought to be the ones that said, I get to be at the house of God today. I get to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I get to come and crown the Lord with praise and honor. Amen. All because look what he's done for me. Look where he's brought me from. Last night, Brother Schubert and I were visiting, and he asked me a question. It was a loaded question. He said, I understand that there are some preachers that feel like they have to go find it, you know, something to preach. They have to wearily begin to search, and it's a lot of anxiety to them that they have to. And I looked at him and I said, I never have that problem. I'm excited to be able to tell the word of the Lord. It's a joy for me to bring the word of salvation. It's a joy when God speaks to my heart. I look forward to the blessings of God. Oh, I love what I do. There's some people make it a grudge. I had a preacher tell me just recently, he was grumbling about this. And I looked at him and I said, I don't have that problem. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm thankful for the plan of God. I'm thankful for the will of God and the power of God in operation in my life. There's no God like my God. There's no way like his way. What a joy to have the light of the world in my life. Amen. It's been maybe 6-7 months ago. I'm at the jail and I am preaching and teaching at the jail. And I had an inmate ask me, he said, man, what are you on? He said, every time you come in here, you're just bubbling and you're glowing, man. What are you on? There's another gentleman I see in Nacogdoches quite often. He said, there's just something about you. You remind me so much of somebody that just bubbling and glowing. The next door neighbor right across the street from the church, he tells me all the time, he said, Pastor, he said, I just love. He said, when I see you, there's always something there in your life. There's a bubbling. I want to tell you, amen, I'm thankful that there's something bubbling inside of me. I'm thankful for the joy to live for God. It's the consequences of a great God who loves me enough to keep me. Amen. He did more than snatch me out of darkness, but he's established my life. He's put his glory in my life. Amen. What a joy to have the glory of God. You know, Jesus used a lot of illustrations, illustrated stories that we call parables, to demonstrate divine consequences. He talked about the foolish man, about people that don't build a life, construct their life right. And he talked about the wise man. He talked about all these different analogies to get us to think. But I think about those. Instead of talking about the bad today, I'm so thankful I get to tell you there's a hope. There's a goodness. There's a reality. Amen. It's more than just a story. So many people open the Bible, and to them it's just a Bible story. But to me, it's a real living deal. Amen. Because the God of heaven has rescued. The God of heaven has made a difference in my life. It's a treasure to me. What about you today? Is it more than just a story? Is it more than just a tale? Amen. Oh, everybody, is it what God has done for you, when God has really reached down for you? Amen. Oh, friend, there's a joy. There's a fire burning inside of you. It's an excitement. Something that keeps you going. Keeps your motor going. Keep you going forward. Amen. How beautiful it is. You know, Jesus died on the cross, and he told his disciples that followed him, he said, I want you to go wait. He said, I'm going to fill you with great power. He said, the power is going to come on you when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1:8. Let me quote it right. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he said, you shall be witnesses. It's going to be a powerful thing that there's going to be evidence in your life. What makes a court case is the evidence. When there's sufficient evidence, amen, there's a sufficient conclusion to a case. And when you have the evidence of God living inside of you, the power of God in operation, you have evidence inside of you. You have something that's alive and real inside of you. So Jesus told his disciples, he said, go wait and begin to pray. And he said, I want you to pray because I'm going to pour out my spirit on you. And there the Bible says they gathered into an upper room. Read Acts 1. Acts 2, and they begin to pray and seek for the promise of the Holy Ghost. They begin to say, God, I need you. You promised it to us. And they begin to seek him. And the Bible says in Acts 1:14, there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and a bunch of other ladies as well. And it talks about 120, about 120 people gathered in the upper room. And it just so happened that there came a feast day called the Day of Pentecost. See, Pentecost is not a religion. Most people want to make it a religion. But Pentecost should be, amen, something inside of you, an experience, a commemoration of what God has done for you. So it just so happened on the Day of Pentecost. This was every 50 years. It was a high celebration to all the Jewish people. And they would come and they go back to their home, originally place, and families would get together and they would worship and commemorate what God did for them. And it was the Day of Pentecost. The disciples and 120 people would gather in the upper room. And the Bible says, and on the Day of Pentecost, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and set upon each of them. And they began to all, everybody say all, speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance or the ability. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, even all the different people assembled there, this dynamic power of God fell on them. Amen. There were outsiders that also came from all the regions around to celebrate this great feast they call Pentecost. And they began to look at these people that when the Spirit of God came on these 120, these people are speaking in different languages. They're worshiping. They look like drunk people. So much that the outsider says, these people are drunk. And it's only 9:00 in the morning. How can they be drunk so soon? The celebration just started. And Peter's standing up with the 11. Peter didn't stand up by himself. He said, men and brethren, let me tell you what. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the Old Testament, Joel spoke that there's going to come a day that God will pour out his spirit. And it is also prophesied that with stammer lips and another tongue will God speak. This is that. This is that fulfillment of prophecy. And people were amazed. And they wondered. And they said, what shall we do to get this? Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 38. Sister Nina is going to put it up there. Most of us could quote it in this room, but I want you to see it. Acts 2, verse 38. It's coming. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Well, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat him to it. Here we go. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, if you want this, you got to repent. You got to turn from your sin. You got to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Isn't it excited, friend, that day, amen, God filled people with the Holy Ghost? Go on down. And the Lord added to the church. Look, we'll read verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward, misdirected, lost generation. Verse 41. And they that gladly, everybody say gladly, received his word were what? Baptized. And the same day they were added unto the 120, about 3,000 souls. I want to tell you, the joy began to happen that day. The peace of God began to happen in their life. Amen. Oh, friend, and it's still flowing. Do you remember the day that God filled you with the Holy Ghost? Do you remember the hour, even where you were lost in peril, but the goodness and the authority and the glory of God fell on your life, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Oh, it's joy. The scripture says it's joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It still happens. And the Perez family, their son named Andrew. I watched Andrew 6-7 months ago. There, as he repented of his sins, and him sitting down, and we began to pray for him. He said, "I want the Holy Ghost." He was weeping. And he lifted his hands, and I watched the King of Kings come in that boy's life. That boy began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave him utterance. Later on, I baptized Andrew, and it happened again. And when it happened to him, it happened to another young man. Amen. I'm thankful that this thing is contagious. The glory of the Lord, there's something about it. It's for you. It's for me. It's for your children. It's for whosoever. The joy of the power of the Holy Ghost, the consequences of the great God of heaven. It's not what I did. It's what he's done. Zacchaeus, all his people around him, his peers, they wrote this man off. They got aggravated at Jesus because Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house and they murmured, how is it that Jesus is going to that trash? That old rich heathen, what is he doing going to that publican's house? And Jesus made it clearly, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. Are you thankful that mercy comes to those that are undeserving of it? Are you thankful that the grace of God comes to those that are not fit for it? Even those that can't make it, those whose life is messed up. How many of you made foolish choices? How many of you made a mess out of your life? But how many of you are thankful for the goodness of God today, that the blood of Jesus has washed away your sins? You want your life washed? The Bible, we read it a while ago. We need to repent of our sins. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Note, it said for the remission of sins. Amen. Many times in the New Testament, the word remission of sins come. And each time it comes with the name of Jesus and baptism. You got to be baptized. Don't let a preacher, don't let somebody cheat you out of the joy of having your sins remitted in the watery grave of baptism. Baptism is not a suggestion. You don't just get baptized to join a congregation, but you get baptized to take on the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It's not an option. Jesus said it's for the remission of sins. Amen. He commanded his disciples to preach it. He commanded that they ought to reach out and teach this and proclaim it and do it. Amen. We call it the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's called the Great Commission, where he said repentance must be preached and baptism must be administrated. Amen. Would you put Matthew 28:19 up for us? This is part of the Great Commission. Most people quote it at baptism, but they don't obey it at baptism. You see, you can't just quote the word. You need to obey the word. Jesus told his disciples, this is the Great Commission. What is a commission? It's a commandment. The word co-mission. Commandment and a mission. His command and demands ought to be your mission. He said, go you therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Everybody say name. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Note the name. The word name here is not plural. It's not names. It's name. There is a name. Break the sentence down. The name of the Father. Name of the Son. And name of the Holy Ghost. I am a father, I am a son, and I'm a husband. But when my wife married me, she didn't get father. She can't be a father. She didn't become a son. And she sure enough didn't become husband. But she took my name. She became a crosswhite. And when you get baptized in the name of the Father, Jesus, by the way, said, I am coming my Father's name. It still excites me talking about the name of Jesus. He said, I'm coming my Father's name. The name of the Son is Jesus. Didn't the angel tell Mary, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And the name of the Holy Ghost, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name. So when you are baptized, just like they did every place in the book of Acts, Acts 2, we read it, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, Acts 22, Paul, amen, he was baptized, commanded. It wasn't suggested. Hear me, saint of God, amen, I'm thankful for the privilege and the work of remission of sin. I took on the name. I had the name of God. I was a nobody. I was a worthless individual, but the blood of Jesus has made me a new creature. The Spirit of God has made me a new creation. I have a name that is above every name in my life. So there's the results. A nobody. Unwanted person. The master said, I want your life. Lost. Desperate. In despair. The God of heaven has tipped the scales from failure, doom, and despair. God has came to my life. We hear the word gospel. The word gospel is good news. Amen. I'm thankful for the good news of Jesus Christ. How about you? I'm thankful there's a place of healing. The light of God. He said, I'm come as a light to the world. Amen. The grace of God. The beauty of God. Amen. Look what God has. There's joy and peace and gladness that he wants to put inside of lives. I don't know about you, but I remember depression. I remember anxieties. I remember all the negativism of the world and the consequences of living in sin. But oh, friend, I want to tell you the other side of the scale has been tipped in the favor that I have God in my life. He has washed and taken my sins away. I have the treasure of treasures. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the better thing, Hebrews says. Amen. Christ in us, Colossians says, the hope of glory. No wonder the scripture always begin to emphasize he would give beauty for ashes. Burnout lives. Ashes as a result of burnout. Life that is dissipated down to nothing. No value. There's no value in my life. But I'm thankful today for the beauty that God has for ashes. The oil of joy for the broken and messed up and the hurt. God has worth. God has validity. God has benefits. Amen. The Bible says, praise him for his mighty acts. praise Him for His excellent greatness. We're thankful for the benefits of living for God. Are you thankful for the consequences, how the scales has been tipped? I can remember when I was a young man, there was a song. It's a secular song, but let me just, amen. Ann Murray sang a song, A Little Good News. She said, she woke up this morning and she said, it was fighting. Senator was squawking about the bad economy. And she said, it's getting worse. How people talk about we need a policy change. And the local newspaper, there's one more sad story, one more that she couldn't stand. And she said, it's just on and on. She said, but what would it be like if the newspaper said, you know, there's not much to print today because we couldn't find anything bad to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd. Nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good news today. I want to tell you the bad news is bad. Our world's not getting any better. But can I tell you there's some good news? Amen. When this world is not your home, amen, you don't belong to this world anymore. You're just a pilgrim passing through. Amen. Most people call themselves pilgrims, but they can't afford to be pilgrims because they're not in progress. They're headed to somewhere. But I'm thankful today that, amen, I'm making my way through. Amen. My roots are not in this world any longer. God has given me a joy and a hope and a life that I can live far beyond this world, far beyond the problems. Amen. Greater is He that is in me than he that is. I have the power of God in operation. You ought to thank God for where He's brought you from. You ought to praise God for what He's doing in your life. Amen. Why fuel the doom? You know, I study people. That's my job. And not too long ago, we went to Ken Folks, which is a restaurant here, and I listened. The people around me, their conversation was how bad it was, how high gas was, and how bad the weather is. They don't have nothing to talk about. And when they get through talking about the weather, the economy, and politics, or a football game, then they start talking about you and talk about your neighbor and talk about everything else, gossip. I'm glad I have something beautiful to talk about. I'm glad that when I drink a cup of coffee, I'm able to look and say, whoa, God's been good. Let me tell you what my Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you what He's doing in my life. I'm glad that my little waitress that we've invited from Denny's came this morning. She came. She's in Sunday school class. Amen. I looked at her and I said, I'm telling you, God is doing great things in lives. Amen. Elena, you need to come. She came to Friendsgiving. The other day when I went back to Denny's, she looked at me. She said, I'm coming to church. This morning she came. Because of good news. Have you ever been around people, all their mentality was doom? Man, all the don'ts. You know, you go to some churches, it's all they focus on is all the don'ts. You can't do this. You can't do that. All they teach their people is, you can't do this. You can't do that. Amen. I want to tell you, you can live for God. Amen. There's some goodness here that God has. Amen. When you come to church here, I don't want all the negativism, amen, brought in. Amen. I don't want even the church people begin to think, how can they lift their hands in church? Amen. Look at old Zacchaeus. Why is he even here? Look at him on the front row right here. Amen. Oh, I remember you, Zacchaeus. I remember you way back then, Zacchaeus. Oh, yeah. You used to walk the street. You used to do this and do that. Amen. Look at old Zacchaeus. You don't deserve to raise your hands in church, according to some people. But according to the mercy and the goodness of God, amen, I got what I don't deserve. I got God on my side. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a Zacchaeus here today, all because of the goodness of God, because the love of God, the power of God, even the wonders of God's amazement is still for you to receive today. Amen. If there was no hope, let's shut the door to this place. Let's sell it and let's make a convention hall. Let's make it a venue where people could come and have weddings and family reunions. Let's make it a place to help humanity. But folks, I got greater things than just offering them food and just a place to come. I'm thankful that lives could walk in this place and people could walk in that are broken, undone, unwanted, and written off and find the hope of God Almighty. Amen. And find more than just a pulpit and a preacher and find more than the people that just come here as a social club, but they could find hope in hell for their life and something eternal, something great. Even when I think of the goodness of Jesus, my soul cries out. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I grew up in a great revival church. I can remember the hippie movement when I was a kid. It was really the latter part of it. It's kind of the disco hippie move. Back when I remember in the early 70s, I mean, everybody had, even the guys wore these high heel shoes, platform shoes. Y'all remember that? And bell-bottom pants and different weird colors. And I mean, it was cool, man, cool. And they were all spaced out. And even all these boys, they liked that big old hair, afros. And y'all remember that? And I can remember people walking in church. Some of them were high as a kite, but they were searching for something. Some of them were earth people. Some of them called themselves Jesus freaks. And I can remember one old guy walking in, and he had a big old family Bible tucked under his arm. And he could walk in that church, and he's looking around like, wow. Dude, these people are crazy. And you know, most of these people were not just street people. They lived on the street, some of them. Some of them lived in Beatles and bands, and I mean, all lived in the same house. I mean, they come from all kind of backgrounds. Most of them, mom and daddy, were doctors and lawyers. Most of these kids had gone to Louisiana State University there in Baton Rouge, where we lived at. And I can remember walking in church, and in the back of my mind, I said, I'd like to see what God would do with this one. Buddy, I watched the power of the Holy Ghost get a hold of their lives. People that was on LSD, amen, the Holy Ghost came and gave them something higher than what they've been on. Amen, I watched God change them. You know how God changed them? Amen, all of a sudden they were going to the pastor and saying, you know, we've been shacked up for 4 years. We got 3 kids together, but we're not married. We need to be married. And they started getting married. Amen, things started happening. They started getting jobs. God began to work in our life and change them. And friend, they had a testimony. Some of them are still in church today, all because of the goodness of God. But could it have been that when they walked in, somebody said, we don't want that type here. We don't want them here. Man, they look like they hadn't taken a bath in years. They come here and, oh, look at that, they're cool. Amen. You know what? I remember the picture of a lady that's sitting in this place. It was her driver's license. Sister Hope, I can remember your picture. You looked spaced out, messed up. I mean, all froed out, didn't you? Amen. And I'm thankful for what you would never picked. Amen. Sandra, that God would touch Sandra's life. Amen. But folks, amen, she has a greater excitement than marijuana. She has a greater excitement than beer. Amen. And drugs and liquor. Amen. Look what God has done for her. Amen. No wonder she gets excited in church, because the scales has been tipped in the favor of her soul, all because of a mighty God that cared for her. God gives hope. God gives peace. Amen. God gives love. The beauty of God's great consequences of grace. Think about it. There are people that are looking, and it seemed like life, big sheer curtain was in front of them. They couldn't see. And when God opened the curtain, it's like, wow, this is amazing. I've had people say, where has this been all my life? I wish that I had this when I was a kid. The curtain was open of reality and revelation. Wow. Amazing. How wonderful. How great. This is exuberant. The presence of the Almighty God These folks have never felt the glory of God. Curtain is open. God leads them from and into His marvelous light. And one day, a curtain's going to close behind us, just like God shut the door of the ark. And when we get to the other side, you think you've seen it now? You think you had it all now? Even the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm not going just a street of gold. I'm not just going for walls of jasper. I'm not just going for a mansion. Amen. I'm not just going for all the different things there. Amen. But I'm going because where Jesus is a light, I want to be there where He's at. Amen. Oh, what an excitement. Amen. I just don't have to have it here, but it's going to be there forever. Ever and ever and ever and ever. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more night, no more perils, no more pain. Light. We sing a song, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no more night, I have a mansion over there that is free from toil and care. I'm going to that city where the Lamb is the light. We're not talking about the negative today, but I'm telling you the reason. I don't live for God for the penalty. I don't do this because if I do it, I'm going to hell. No, I do this because God has brought me out of that. God has set me free. Amen. I want to please God. I want to walk with God. Amen. I do this because I don't have to have that no more. I don't have to have a drink. I don't have to have this in life. I have a better life. God has given me the better thing. Amen. And most people say, well, I come to church because I don't want to go to hell. And some people can say, I come to church because I want to go to heaven. But you know why I come to church? Because I have a God who's alive for me today. I'm not just in this. This is not just an insurance policy to me. Now, I just live and just come to church because one day I get to cash in the insurance policy. I want to tell you the reason why I come to church and the reason why I live for God is because every day is the day of the goodness of the Lord. I can enjoy God. My point today is this. If you can't enjoy God now, you'll never know the glory of the wow of tomorrow. Until God becomes supreme and number one and the center of your joy. Ooh, are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Zacchaeus said, I got to see Jesus. I got to get to where He's at. And he was incapable. He tiptoed. Even on his tiptoes, he couldn't see. He tried to look around. He tried to press his way through those big old guys around Jesus. The crowd was too tightly pressed together. So when he said, you know what I'm going to do? There's a tree right over there. I sure could climb a tree. And Zacchaeus went, found that sycamore, and began to climb. He scooted up. And he said, I know Jesus is supposed to walk this way. And Jesus came walking. And Jesus stopped. Look up. And he said, Zacchaeus, hurry up, come down. Make haste. Get on down. We're going to your house. You see, the God that you have today gets to go home with you. Because one of these days, I'm going home with Him. Amen. You ought to lift your hands, saint of God, in this place. Have a soul. Amen. Lift your hands and thank the Lord for the beauty and the evidence of His grace and mercy. Let's stand, in fact, in this building this morning. Amen. The goodness and the beauty of God's great grace. Amen. You ought to lift your voice and thank the Lord for the truth. Are you thankful for that day that you were lost, undone, weary, panicking in life? Amen. In need of God, in need of being delivered from the burden and the prison chains, the heavy wages of sin was against you. That day the goodness of God came. Hallelujah. When I preached to inmates on Thursday, I repeat this very much. You may be an inmate, but you don't have to be one on the inside. You don't have to be one on the inside. You may have to go to prison the rest of your life. But you don't have to be one. And, you know, there's preachers and saints and people that has had the audacity to tell me, what are you doing wasting your time going to the prison and the jail? I've had preachers tell me that. You're not going to do them any good. Well, they don't have the same faith in my God as I have. It makes me mad when somebody says, you're wasting your time. You'll never help them out. It just challenges me just more. It just gives me more of a thrust and a push. Because I want to tell you what? The same God that we have right here in this room, the same God that we feel many times, these people have never felt it. They get their first taste of the Almighty God. Even right there locked up in that county jail. And watch them for the first time ever. When I teach them why we raise our hands, why the Word of God teaches us to lift our hands. Some of them never raised their hands before. Raise their hands for the first time. I watch them look at their hands when they raise it. And they're going, God, this is amazing. And I watched them. I watched a young lady named Alma for the first time ever. To feel the power of the Lord, God filled Alma with the Holy Ghost. She spake with other tongues. And she laid across it. There's some pews they brought in that little room up there. She leaned across and fell on that pew. And when she finally came to herself, she said, Brother Crosswaite, this is the best high I've ever had. But I've had them say, but you don't understand. The murderers. They're thieves. They're robbers. Yeah. But I also have a murderer that asked me the other day, Brother Crossway, I've been repenting of my sins. And I think I'm getting ready to be baptized in Jesus' name. She's murdered somebody. Amen. But I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. The undeserving gets. Amen. The grace and the consequences of a loving Savior. Amen. Who amongst us today could point our finger and say, Zacchaeus, you don't deserve it. Zacchaeus, you're unfit. Amen. Had it not been for God today, amen, not one of us could come to His throne. Amen. You ought to step out of your chair right now. Amen. I want you to come to the front of the building and lift your hands. Amen. I want this to be a Thanksgiving time where you thank God for His mercy. Somebody needs to come back and say, God, I just to come thank you. I just want to make it way up front to give you a tribute of appreciation. Because, God, I don't deserve to be right here this morning. I don't deserve to have your love, your grace, your blood, your mercy. Come on, God. Going to church don't make you a Christian, friend. This church sign ain't going to save you. But it's your reception to the Almighty King of Kings. And your love to Him. Amen. Somebody love the Lord back for what He's done for you. Come on, somebody give the Lord praise for what He's doing in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, you could have been that one. Amen. That is all messed up in the grave today. Amen. Oh, but Lord, the Lord had mercy on you to change the course of your life, to change your direction, to change your ways. Amen. Would you lift your hands? Amen. Lift your voice through this place. The Bible teaches us to praise God and to lift our voice with praise and honor to the Lord. Can you thank the Lord with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing, God. Hallelujah. I just come to thank you, Jesus. I just come to thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm. Mm. I feel the ministering of the Holy Ghost right now. Hey, go, Sister Christian. Hallelujah. I feel the ministering of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Would you welcome the Spirit of God right now? Hallelujah. Close your eyes. Amen. I want you to tune in right now. The Spirit of God's wanting to help. Amen. I feel the hand of the Lord right now. I want to prove, amen, with evidence his power. Amen. The evidence is against, amen, all the gainsayers. Amen. All the accusers. Amen. The Holy Ghost has come to advocate. Amen. To give evidence, to step up for somebody. Amen. The touch of the Lord is here. Amen. To bring certainty, to bring evidence to somebody's heart that he does care for you. Amen. Oh, friend, would you let the Holy Ghost pour, amen, in your heart healing and mercy and joy and peace. Come on. You don't have to stand in a pit of despair. You don't have to stay, amen, in the place of misery today. Amen. You come to the house of the King. You come to the house of mercy. You come to the mighty God. Amen. The place where God wants to meet with you. Hallelujah. My hallelujah. The Son of Man has come today to seek and to save that one, like that little boy that's looking and panicking and searching, like that one in the dark, don't know where they're at, that is lost. Oh, where are you? Where are you? God's reaching right now. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's give liberty to the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, let's give liberty to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's somebody here this morning. Let me speak to your heart. You're in a rut. Two times just recently. You thought about giving up. Even the spirit of suicide has courted you. But two times, just recently, you thought about giving up. Your life's in a rut. You feel like you can't get out. Oh, the Lord's been merciful to you before. But you keep ending up back in this old same old thing. And you feel like, it's a rut. It's a pressure. Two times. I said again, you have felt it. And such a despair came over you that you felt like life was not even worth living. I want to speak to your heart right now. The Holy Ghost has come with a name. God has come to touch you, to pull you out. Amen. God has come to lift you out of that horrible situation. Amen. Of hopelessness. Oh, amen. The Holy Ghost is here right now. Amen. Saint of God, you ought to praise God for victory in this house right now. Amen. Somebody ought to praise God for the joy. Amen. The master's come. The master's made a stop today. The master said, hold on. Zacchaeus, come on. I'm going to your place. God wants to go home with somebody. God wants you to leave with him today. God wants to lead you back to your house with a joy in your step, with a hope in your life. Amen. With peace and joy. And healing and mercy. Hallelujah. Help me pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Men, some of you men, gather around. Some of you ladies, gather around. Amen. Let's pray. Find somebody. If you're in the chairs, I want you to find somebody to pray with right now. Slip your hand on the shoulder. Amen. Grab somebody by the hand, whatever you have to do. Amen. I believe somebody right now, God is wanting to give liberty and freedom to in this house. Hallelujah. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's come to seek and to save that one which is lost today. Amen. He's come for you today. He's come that you may have life and it more abundantly. Amen. Don't be afraid to touch God. Don't be afraid to reach to God today. God is trying. God is willing today to help you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pray for that one next to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to find your glory. Help us to know your spirit. Help us to know your ways, God. I love and I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless you, Lord. Amen. There's a touch from the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. Receive right now. Receive right now. Come on. The evidence. Don't take my word. I want you to take the Lord's word this morning. God, I believe you and I trust you. I worship you. I welcome you. Come on. Welcome the Lord with your worship. I welcome your touch. I welcome your ways, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Spirit of despair, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against you. Amen. Oh, Lord, pour your joy right now. Pour your peace. Put hope in that soul. Hallelujah. That home that is trouble right now. The troubles that's going on this week. God, you know about it. Amen. I pray for the peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The worth to move back in that home. Amen. The peace to move back in that home. Hallelujah. That table becomes a place. Amen. A place of healing. A place, Lord. A relaxation. The home, even the bed, becomes a place of rest. My God, give it to us, Lord. I pray for the glory. Glory in the joy of your spirit today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, press your way in prayer right now, Lord. I pray for the divine power of your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Jesus. Come on, let's stop right here. There's something in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's something in the spirit realm that God wants to give. Hallelujah. God, there's joy and peace. Lord, you have joy and peace for the home, for the soul, for the individual. God, that one that feels kind of rotten on the inside, Lord, you have hope. God, you have forgiveness and freedom, Lord, to release that, Lord, to release that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let him fill your cup. Let him fill your cup. Come on, let him fill your cup right now. Hallelujah. Come on, let him fill your soul. Hallelujah. The goodness of the Lord is in operation today for those that seek him. Hallelujah. Come on, you're going to have to make your decision today. Do you want to stay in that dump? Do you want to stay in that rut? Do you want to stay in despair? Or do you want to get out of that rut you've been in? Amen. Won't you run to Jesus today? Come on, hallelujah. The goodness of the Lord awaits for you. Holy God, mercy, grace, anointing, healing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sweet holy God. Sweet holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, God's not going to take over until you let him. Ma'am, God will not break the door down of your will. You keep the door shut. You keep the door locked of your will and your choice. God will try to gently call you, speak to you, assure you. But you got to open the door. Yes, my mercy was there to distract you. At that point where you didn't know what to do, I distracted and caused distraction. Get your mind. It was I. Pain. Hey, I've come back. I've come to reach to you. To hear my voice. Open your heart. Day have come. Day have come gently knocking and bidding. Open your heart. Let me minister to you. I have grace. I have peace. I have peace. Open your heart. Let's lift our hands in this place. Lift your hands to Jesus, saint. Come on, lift your hands with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Reach up to the Lord. Welcome the Lord. God, we surrender. Our hands we lift, God, is a sign of surrender. God, Lord, you taught us in the word to lift up holy hands unto you when we pray. Hallelujah. We lift our hands as a means of saying, God, we need you. We reach to you and we surrender to you, Lord. I pray, God, as we invite you today, Lord, I pray for the goodness of your spirit, Lord, to work. Let the beauty of your power, Lord, operate in us. Hallelujah, Lord, have your will, have your way. Have your will and have your way, dear Jesus. Hallelujah, work your work in me today, God. Hallelujah.